Back together again, you and I chatting it up midweek Wednesday style, May 13th, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today, where we welcome to Hearst Connecticut Media senior columnist and editor Dan Hart to chat about all the political twists and turns surrounding the Republican and Democratic state nominating conventions coming up in just a few days. I also had some thoughts earlier in the show regarding the renewed controversy surrounding flavored vaping products and e-cigarettes in Connecticut. And CBS News White House reporter Linda Kenyon joined us to chat about President Trump's trip to China. Right around this time every Wednesday, middle of the week check-in, Dan Hart, Hearst Connecticut Media. Mr. Hart, good afternoon. And man, the times, they are strange in Connecticut politics, are they not?
Dan. It's a quiet week. Is anything going on this week?
Hey, let's talk about the Aaron Stewart situation first. Dan, in your years of doing this, have you seen anything like this? Do we have to go back to the Roland days here?
Yeah, Watergate.
Well, yeah, okay, you and me, but yeah, I get what did the president know and when
actually,
did he know?
You know, we joke, and I have no idea whether she's, you know, guilty or innocent.
Yeah.
Obviously, people are innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
But this sort of the way people are saying she simply has to explain this.
Yeah.
It has as one of some precedents what happened in Watergate, where it's like, hey, this looks really bad. You need to explain this. Right. You can't just say, you know, I am not a crook. She has to. I mean, everybody is saying she has to explain it. The Republican state chairman is saying she has to explain it. It's not just her opponents and it's not just the Democrats. And she simply has to stop saying, she can keep saying it's a witch hunt. And who knows? Maybe she's right.
Yeah.
But there are facts on the table that she has to either refute or get out.
And Dan, the whole, you're right, the punching back thing, right? Oh, you're coming at me because you know I can win, which might, listen, you go after people who you think that pose you a threat. But Dan, the other people I've talked to on this, previous to you on this over the past 4 or 5 days, one of the universal things that I've heard from those people who are insiders and just observers, they've all said the same thing, the timing of this whole thing. I had a couple of people text me who are really into local politics, who were active, who know their stuff, saying, you know, this is the kind of thing that would usually happen in October. Why do you think now, Dan, versus an October surprise?
Well, to the extent that things are coming from investigations of records in City Hall, the timing makes sense because this is a new mayor who took over. You know, he finds out where the bathrooms are in November, and in December he meets people. And in January, he stays out of the cold and he sets some agenda. And in February, he does the budget. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In other words, it's in the normal course of events, a Democratic mayor with no love lost for his predecessor, who's looking, he's starting to hear things. Now I'm really talking about the tax collector situation rather than the P card.
Yeah.
Right? Because Mayor Bobby Sanchez, he said as much in the press release that he's looked into it because he's starting to hear things. That's what he said. And so it's normal. The timing there is normal. But who cares?
Yeah.
Let us say that there are people out to get her politically who don't like her. They don't like the color of her hair.
Yeah.
They don't want, or they want her opponents to win. Who cares?
Yeah.
The reality is, here are allegations. You now owe an explanation. These are documented allegations. They're not documented that she did anything wrong. The allegations are documented. It's not just people talking. It is documents. And, you know, P card receipts in this case. And the tax collector situation is not directly tied to her.
No.
But the bigger picture, Paul, is that this is four things now in the space of a month. This is four things. And so what people are starting to ask is, maybe she's right about this one or that one. What does it say about what's going to happen in an Aaron Stewart administration?
In the Dan Hart crystal ball, does she still have a chance? Or do you think, Dan, she still comes out with a party endorsement this weekend? How do you think this all shakes out at the casino?
Well, it's a different era than it was just a few years ago because we have a sitting president who said things that we can't repeat on family radio 2 weeks, 3 weeks before an election, and they're undeniably said, and he won, and that same person was convicted of 34 counts of swindling with pretty damn good proof. This was not a political attack, and he's the president, so we have a different world, and I think that the Republican delegates may want to give her the benefit of the doubt, and of course, we've already heard from Senator Fazio, who says you people are crazy if you vote for her, given what's out there. Basically, it's not the exact words, but do we really want to nominate this person? But yes, she's going to have very significant support, if not majority support.
All right, politics round two. Dan, I've been saying this for months. It wouldn't surprise me, and I know there's going to be a primary, and things could change, and here comes the money, dark money, light money, money from in, money from out, but Luke Bronin over John Larson. What do you think? That's your district, Dan.
My district, and I covered it, and I've been on the phone all day with people about it.
Yeah,
for a column that I'm writing. The long and the short of it is that in the small picture, John Larson attempted a ploy that didn't quite work.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's not new in politics. I'll give you this, you give me that. He gave Jillian Gilchrist 28 votes on Manchester, enough to put her on the ballot where he wants her on the ballot. Because in a three-way, John Larson does better than in a head-to-head against Bronin.
Yes, yeah.
And he gives her those 28 votes. In exchange, she gets him X number of ballots, of votes, for the second round. She pulls out. She gets her 15%, smiles for the cameras, and goes home. In exchange for that favor, and this is explicit, it's not implicit.
Oh, yeah.
He goes out and gets him enough votes to put him over the top. The ploy failed. Why it failed is a matter of debate, and I'm trying to get to the bottom of it, but it failed. It fell short. And that's the small ball. In the big picture, it shouldn't come to that for a 28-year incumbent who's been in the House Democratic leadership and who prior to those 28 years was the president of the state Senate.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't come to this. It shouldn't have come down to a margin of 5 votes, right? He won by 5 votes.
Yeah.
He won by 10, but, you know, five votes.
Sure, five each way, yeah.
Right. So how does it come to be that a challenger who's not significantly different politically from the incumbent, but who's 30 years younger, and that's a big deal, maybe the answer is because he's 30 years younger,
yeah,
raises $1.8 million, outraises the incumbent, even with PAC money that John Larson is accepting, Luke Bronin's still outraising him. Now, people say, okay, Luke Bronin comes from Greenwich. He has out-of-state money, blah, blah, blah. Guess what? They both do. Okay.
Yeah.
So that neutralized. How does it happen? That's the big picture question.
Mm.
How did John Larson let it get to this?
Excellent. I'm looking forward to that piece you're doing on this. And finally, another fascinating angle coming up this week, the Democrats gathering at the Bushnell in Hartford. I'm hearing from a lot of people, and you can verify this for me, Dan Haar. Does Josh Elliott have enough support for a primary against Ned Lamont? And B, you think he goes through with it or not? Because, listen, you look at Zohran Mamdani, you look at Graham Plattner in Maine, and suddenly what was thought to be crazy, Dan, maybe isn't. What are your thoughts on that?
Josh Elliott is a good political, a good state representative, but he's not. Zohran Mamdani, love him or hate him, is a generational figure.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that Josh Elliott is that, and I don't think he pretends to be that. So, no, that's not going to happen. But whether he goes through with it or not, logic says he takes it to the convention.
Yeah.
He either does or does not get his 15%. And whether he does or he doesn't, he gives a heartfelt speech. And he bows out for the unity of the party. But that's not what the progressive movement wants to see.
No.
Because what I'm hearing is that he disappoints an awful lot of people if he doesn't take this all the way to a primary, and he will. And so he's already lost his seat in the House, so he no longer has that seat. Or has he? Is he running for that seat? Wait a minute. I think he is again. He's running for that seat.
Yeah.
So that may be all the more reason why he pulls out of a primary. I don't know. The long and the short of it is Josh Elliott is making a very strong point, and he is affecting policy by having this run. If Josh Elliott claims that he's moving Lamont to the left, he's right. He's correct. And so it's not a quixotic campaign to become the governor of the state of Connecticut. It is more pressure from the left that is, hey, we mean business. This isn't just jawboning. And that's important in politics.
Absolutely. Great stuff as always. Dan will be watching, as we will, this coming weekend. Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media senior editor and columnist. Dan, take care. Have a good weekend. And we'll chat on all this and more next week. Thank you, sir.
And we'll have more to say.
Yes. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate that. I'm always fascinated when those who govern us kind of sort of take the easy way out of things. You know what I mean? Where they go for the low-hanging fruit, but if you step back and you actually look up higher in the tree, you can actually see what the deal is and what's going on here with certain things. What am I talking about here to open up? And we'll get to the Aaron Stewart thing. We'll get to what's coming up this weekend for state Democrats and state Republicans and all that. Believe me, we've got four big throbbing hours to do this. But I saw this in poking around yesterday. Didn't get to it. Want to get to it today. Now, I don't know how many of you people out there in this audience still smoke or smoke something, whether you smoke cigarettes, whether you vape, whether you use e-cigarettes, maybe you're a cigar person, a pipe person, maybe you partake of adult-use marijuana, whatever. And despite years and years and decades and years and revelations of all this, with people saying, hey, it's bad for you, you shouldn't do it, most figures say anywhere from 16 to 17 to 18, maybe 20%, roughly 1 in 5 to a little under 1 in 5 people in the U.S. still, in this day and age in 2026, they smoke. Now, unless you're doing this in your home, and even if your home is an attached condo, a townhouse, something where the smoke could seep in cracks and be sniffed in the other unit, it's even hard to do it in there. Most people do it in their cars or they sit outside and smoke. And a lot of people, like me, know people who also vape. E-cigarettes, electronic vaping pens, because they want the nicotine kick or they vape THC. They don't want the bad stuff in tobacco, right? And I think I've told this before. I know three or four people in my life, in my professional life, who have used vaping to quit smoking. And they smoke nothing, anymore. And I have a couple of friends who still vape the nicotine because they love the nicotine kick. They use e-cigarettes, and they just got to have something in their hand. You know, it's an anxiety thing. All right. So what am I driving at here? Well, here's what's in the news again, and this tends to be in the news once a year, once every year and a half or so, because those who govern us don't want to see the easier way to do this, or the way that maybe it's not easier. Maybe it's the harder way to do this. And we're talking about e-cigarettes and vaping. Story here under the public health column in the Connecticut News Junkie, which I find fascinating. Our Attorney General, William Tong, Mr. Tong, who some people like, some people dislike, whatever, has joined a coalition of attorneys general. They want to reverse loosened FDA e-cigarette rules. And Mr. Tong and the other attorneys general of several states, mostly blue states with some red states mixed in, says here in this story that they want the FDA to abandon draft guidance that would make it easier to approve flavored e-cigarette products. The flavored e-cigs are widely understood to disproportionately worsen youth addiction. Now, stay with me here for a second. Federal law already requires that all e-cigarette products receive authorization from the FDA before they can be legally marketed or sold in the U.S. To date, the FDA has authorized not many, just a few dozen. They've only authorized 45 e-cigarette products. Until this past May 5th, the FDA had approved no flavors other than tobacco or menthol. But just 6 days before the comment deadline, the FDA approved two fruit-flavored products. Now, despite limited authorization, now here's the rub here. Mr. Tong and a lot of his fellow attorneys general, God bless them, I'm sure they think they're doing the right thing. And from a public health standpoint, they may be. But what am I missing here? What am I missing? You're missing this. And you may say, that's it, General Tong, go after him. Well, before we do that again, there are a lot of people they could already be going after, and they don't really do that, and I wonder why. Despite such limited authorization, hundreds of thousands of e-cigarette varieties in multitudes, yes, of flavors are currently available for purchase in flagrant violation of state and federal laws, Tong said. Compounding their previous failures, on the 8th of May, the FDA issued a press release announcing they would not prioritize enforcement against vapes and nicotine pouches marketed without the necessary FDA authorization. And that's my point here. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. What's the point of going after and saying, well, you've got to go through all this regulation of these e-cigarette and vaping flavors when you've got, I don't know, every convenience station in the state of Connecticut, every gas station in the state of Connecticut, every maybe little bodega in the state of Connecticut that's out there selling flavors that they're not supposed to sell? If I understand the law here. So we're going to go after the big bad federal government because they may be raising the white flag on these e-cigarettes. Frankly, I don't give a crap. Well, Paul, you know, kids, what about the kids? Yeah, what about the kids? Why don't we shut the convenience stores down? Why don't we do that? It says right here in this story, in the venerable Connecticut News Junkie, Attorney General Tong admits there are hundreds of thousands of e-cigarette varieties in, my word of the day, multitudes. Multitudes of flavor currently available for purchase in flagrant violation of state and federal laws. But we're not going to go after the people that sell them or the legal people that buy them and then give them for the team. No, we got to go after the FDA. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. But it looks good. It puffs up the resume. Oh, these evil vapes. Do kids vape? Yeah. Do kids use marijuana when they shouldn't? Yeah. Do kids drink alcohol when they shouldn't? Yes. But it's funny. We actually go and actually try to enforce with stings illegal sales of alcohol and maybe marijuana to kids. Why don't we do the same thing with vapes? Do we? I don't know. Listen, we've got to stop this ridiculous notion that we could alter social behavior on the hands of people that don't care about altering their own behavior. So I want to start with this today because I found this interesting. And for you folks that use vapes out there, use e-cigarettes, maybe you do it to help you quit. Maybe you smoked at one time. So let me ask you this. Do you support the state's opposition to the federal government allowing the sale of more flavored vaping and e-cigarette products? You can buy 1,000 different flavors of booze. You can buy numerous flavors of cigars, cigarettes, pipe tobacco, snuff, Red Man. But e-cigarettes, oh my God, well, the kids may use them. Well, if you care so much about the kids, find out who bought them for them or where they bought them. shut them down or put them in jail. So apparently the Attorney General, Mr. Tong, on behalf of the state of Connecticut, has signed on to an action here protesting some loosened FDA e-cigarette rules, saying that he's not happy. He and 20 other attorneys general say that e-cigarettes are widely understood to disproportionately worsen youth addiction. Now, I'm not going to argue that. I'm not an addiction specialist. But Mr. Tong, in this story here, in the Connecticut News Junkie, admits, as I'm sure a lot of these other attorneys general would, that despite all these rules we have, hundreds of thousands of e-cigarette varieties in multiple flavors are currently available for purchase. And that flagrantly breaks federal and state laws. All right, I get that. I understand that. I can dance with you on that, Toots. All right? So why don't, instead of going after the federal government, until at least the Trump years are over, and that may be followed by the Rubio or the Vance years, when you're not making any headway here, why don't we go more after people that are illegally selling these flavors to kids? And why are flavored vapes bad when flavored tobacco, different strands of marijuana, different strains, I should say, of marijuana, and anything else addictive is okay in flavors? You know, the older I get, and Lord knows I'm getting up there right now, but the older I get, the more I'm like, you know what, screw it. If kids and retailers want to engage in doing something that's against their health, I mean, kids have smoked cigarettes for hundreds of years. And maybe adults want to enjoy some flavor, vapes, whatever, to help them keep away from tobacco and all this other stuff. So again, the low-hanging fruit to me is going after some of these retailers, and maybe they do these sting operations, but come on. Let's be serious here. You see this happen probably down the street from the AG's office. Are they doing anything about it? I don't know. You tell me. Let's kick it off with Mike in Shelton. Hey, Mike, you're on WICC. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I agree with you on a lot of things, but in this one, having raised a couple of teenage boys, I got to say no. Just like we went after Joe Camel and all the marketing that we were doing directly to make kids start smoking.
Yep.
These vapes are the worst thing that's happened in a long time.
So why don't we go after, Mike, these retailers? Yes, that's my point. Yes.
But we should also ban as much as we can, make it, all these different cotton candy and everything else they have. It's strictly aimed at getting kids to start vaping. Most of these vapes aren't even regulated as to where the heck they come from.
Well, that's my point.
You know, it's Chinese garbage.
Yes.
All kinds of stuff in it that's ruining kids' lungs, doing all kinds of damage to them. So we got to go. We can do more. We can walk and chew gum. We can go after them when they're selling it, but we also got to go after them to not even produce it. So that's why I agree. And let's face it, Trump's guy at the FDA lost his job because he got pushed out because the big money says, hey, we want to make big money on these kids getting addicted to these vapes. So, I mean, even Trump was all for getting rid of this crap until money got involved.
Yeah.
Now, big money is saying, hey, we're not just like with the marijuana in Connecticut. We need more potency. Well, as soon as big money starts talking, everybody suddenly says, well, we're not going to regulate anything. The root of all evil is the big money.
Mike, let me just ask you, if you don't mind, because you did bring up your kids. I don't want to get too deeply into this, but were they hooked or were they vape users?
My youngest one was, and they can get a fake ID online in 2 minutes.
There you go.
So
there it is.
So you do regulate it and you say they're checking IDs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
My youngest had a fake ID probably when he was 16.
Oh, jeez.
He was a big kid. He looked like, he could pass.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike.
He's a good kid, but,
listen, we all, and Mike, thank you, appreciate it. Listen, I'm not saying I had a fake ID, bud. So what are your thoughts on this? Do you agree with Mike that we need to still go after these fruit, and look, I'm not saying that the fruit flavors aren't out there of these vapes to try and hook kids, but here's another question I have. What if adults like the fruit flavors? Now, I know what you're saying. Well, that's too bad if they like it, but just too bad. They can either have, what are there, two varieties, I think, officially? Tobacco-flavored and menthol-flavored, basically to emulate tobacco and the tobacco feel and use and all that. All right, well, what if adults say, hey, I want a flavored vape here, and don't penalize me because you have, as Mike said, somebody selling illegal imported crap from China. All right, we go from Connecticut all the way to the nation's capital. Yes, what is shaking at the White House? Shaking in D.C.? I guess they're fixing the reflecting pool. Some people say the job isn't good enough. Man, never a dull moment for the White House press corps. Of such, we talked to Linda Kenyon, our friend, CBS News in D.C. Linda, good afternoon. How are you? Is it a calm day, Linda, at all? You mean, even though Mr. Trump is out of town halfway across the world, there's still things shaking at 1600 Pennsylvania? Really?
Always. Yeah. Always. You know, it's just that there's no break ever.
Yeah. So I guess, Mr. Trump, I guess now everybody is wondering, Linda, right, what's the White House saying about this trip to China? No matter who the president is, there's always this air of anticipation when an American president either waits here for the president of China or goes over there. What's the White House official line on this?
Well, the official line is that this is going to be about talking about things including trade and tariffs. The U.S. and China have had a bit of a rocky relationship when it comes to the president's trade tariffs. He did impose some tariffs during his first term in the White House. And then very early in his second term, he had what he called Liberation Day when he announced those across-the-board tariffs on pretty much every country in the world. Even some that didn't even have human populations. and then he got into this verbal dispute with China over trade. And then he got really angry and imposed a 50% trade tariffs on China on top of, 10% earlier, then another 40%. And then everything kind of calmed down, and now, while those tariffs have been kind of put on pause, that is probably going to be one of the biggest issues. But the president received a lot of questions from reporters before he went wheels up to go to China, and the majority of those questions involved the war against Iran.
Yeah.
Now, China, as you know, buys a lot of oil from Iran, so it has a vested interest in trying to put an end to this war, if at all possible, so it can reopen the oil spigots. So the president may be talking to him about Iran.
All right, Linda Kenyon, CBS News. Linda, as always, we thank you, and we'll chat down the road. Appreciate the time, Linda. Thank you.
That sounds good. You have a great day.
All right, thanks, Linda. Linda Kenyon there, yeah.